song is called Spending My Life With You from Denise Davis. We heard from Bobby McFerrin along with Esperanza Spalding and their version of Lay My Burdens Down, Lord. They call it simply Glory. Were you there when you crucified, when they crucified, my Lord? That was from Aaron Neville. We also heard from Bobby and Willie Nelson together in that old-time religion. 15 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, and that could only mean one thing, that we have Reverend Dr. John DeLancey on the line with us from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania, pastor and part-time archaeologist. John, welcome. Happy Tuesday.
It's good to be with you guys again.
And, of course, David Allen Punis here. David, you are with us, aren't you?
I am with you.
I can't see David today, so sometimes he's... We have video problems today, and sometimes David dozes off, John, you know, so I can't keep track of him this time. Mm-hmm. Got to give him a little audio poke there now and then, make sure we're all together.
My camera's off, John, and I'm not sure why, but this affords me the opportunity to dress in anything I want to.
That's true, I'm just as glad the camera maybe isn't working this morning.
Probably just as well.
Yeah. John, we were talking about, Dave and I were talking about an article that he had located relating some new archaeological finds from the city of David. One of them was an inscription, and I can't help but wonder, now this has got to be exciting stuff for archaeologists, but not only for just archaeologists, but for the whole Christian community. But correct me if I'm wrong, don't these findings tend to validate, to emphasize, to teach us more about Scripture and maybe increase our understanding of Scripture?
They certainly do, and when an inscription like this potentially, and I say potentially because there's only a fragment of the inscription that can be read, but when it seems to match up with the biblical text, that is like... an amazing find. I'm sure the archaeologists who found it probably jumped for joy and understood immediately the significance of what they discovered.
Now, these are our relics. Is that the right word for them? Relics from the time of the first temple. This goes back to like 7th, 8th, 9th century BC, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. They date it to somewhere in the Hezekiah time period, or even as late as the destruction of the temple in 586, but nonetheless, certainly at least 2,600, 2,700 years old.
Okay, now what I'm looking at a picture of this, it's a piece of pottery, or maybe a piece of a building, was it? I mean, it's hard to tell the size from the photograph here.
It was certainly on the rim of a piece of pottery, a ceramic bowl.
Okay.
And according to the archaeologist, the inscription was placed before the pot was fired. So this was not a late addition, if you will, of an inscription, but it no doubt marked the owner of this particular pot. And it seems as if it matches a particular Bible passage mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And the name of... The ceramic inscription reveals the name of Yahaziel, who, according to 2 Chronicles 20, was someone who spoke prophecy to this King Jehoshaphat when the three invading kingdoms from the east side of the Dead Sea were invading the country of Judah. So this is quite interesting to see a name on a pottery shirt or a ceramic bowl that matches a biblical verse.
Well, what makes it interesting to me is and just aside from the fact that you're holding something in your hands that's that old and was made by a human being clearly and has information on it, if this in fact is a reference to 2 Chronicles, it tells us a number of things about the possible date for the writing of 2 Chronicles, and because we would be more certain probably of the age of this piece of pottery than the actual date of the writing of Chronicles, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we probably would. I know Chronicles typically is dated to a later time period, but to have this inscription reveal the potential name of something or someone mentioned in Chronicles really is a remarkable find because it validates the historicity of the Bible. They were real people named by, you know, with real names. Mm-hmm. And certainly this reveals that quite clearly.
So it's interesting that the clues you can draw from a piece, aside from the relic itself, I mean, how do they tell the age of it? Is that because of the layers again, the depth maybe where it was found?
Yeah, typically that's the leading way to date a particular structure by the type of pottery. Mm-hmm. Pottery actually was made differently throughout the centuries, certainly during the time of the Old Testament, and each pottery has its own characteristics. So this was certainly found in the context of a structure that seems to date to that particular time period, and the pottery seems to match.
Now, archaeologists then need to be really detectives too, because you're drawing a lot of information from a piece of clay.
Yeah, the struggle is how much do you match the particular find with scripture? Mm-hmm. And certainly if, for instance, if a piece of pottery was found without any inscription on it, then to make that link between the two, other than finding it in the context or the level or the of stratification, other than that, you're sort of guessing the date of that. But here we have actual name written in Paleo-Hebrew, of the first type of Hebrew. We have other inscriptions written with the same letters, and it's quite accurate to date this to that time period.
Would this be a less significant find to someone who was not a Bible believer?
I think it would be significant. Significant to anyone, because the number of times you find something with an inscription on it is few and far between. Mm. So I think even a person who maybe doubts the historicity of the Bible, I think would certainly be at least intrigued about the name on it or what was mentioned in this inscription.
Now, just I'm assuming, kind of filling in the blank spaces here, like archaeologists have to do in order to put two and two together, assuming that this was a reference to the same person mentioned in Chronicles, that would tell us a lot, just that someone was motivated to use a name from their scriptures on a piece of pottery. Says something about the person who made it.
Yeah, I think it does. And of course, there may have been other people with this first name, but indeed, the names match, and from there, I think we can at least conclude that potentially, we really can't say that this matches the particular person, you know, specifically, but at least we have names that were used in the Old Testament time period that are depicted here on, you know, pieces of pottery such as this one.
And we'll try to post this picture with the podcast of John's conversation this morning, so that people can take a look at the picture too, or if nothing else, I can reference the website where this comes from. But I'm looking at the piece itself, and there are other clues. Now, I'm not an archaeologist, but I'm looking at the horizontal lines across this. It says this was turned on a potter's wheel. So that indicates equipment, tools, manufacturing, maybe a professional, huh, made this.
Well, this was pretty much how pieces of pottery or certain pottery ware was made on the wheel. Of course, Scripture mentions some of that in, like, Jeremiah.
Yeah,
but
potter's wheel goes way back then, yeah.
Yeah, but typically you can tell the age of the type of pottery by what it's made from. For instance, there's sometimes oftentimes, white specks within a fragment or a piece of pottery that dates to the Old Testament, and this seems to be that type of pottery.
Hmm. So what other finds have been turned up recently that might be connected with Scripture? Are there some other objects, some finds, maybe some places? You made mention of a new dig up north, be north and west a bit of from Galilee, that you're going to visit. What do you expect to find up there?
Well, the first year of this site called Abel Beit Mecha, I'm sorry, I can't hear you guys.
No, it's okay. Well, we're here.
Well, we're here. Yeah, I thought all of it got real quiet all of a sudden.
Well, he's looking for some information. See, we Google as we talk here. Can you not hear us, John? Uh-oh.
I only hear music somewhere. I'm not sure where.
That's not from us. You got something coming off on another website, maybe. I'll reconnect with you.
There we go. Oh, okay.
Okay, we're back, huh?
Yep. Okay.
I must have pulled up a website that had some music to it. I'm not sure, but
okay. Well, that's all right. We didn't hear it on this end, so.
All right. Sorry about the blank stare and the silent moment, but
that's okay. We get that from David often, so we're used to dealing with that here.
That's good. All of a sudden, I heard music and go, what in the world is this? But anyway, yeah, this site up north called Baal Beit Mecha is a new site. It's actually excavated the first time this year. There were on average about 30 volunteers in addition to the professional staff. And they basically are digging this particular site. It's mentioned, again, only a couple times in the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament. It was a site that was destroyed by the invading Assyrians in 722 BC, but it's interesting to see and learn what they found this first season. I do plan to dig there next summer, but here at this site, they found at least some hints of fortification structures. They also found, most interestingly, a piece of a jug, I should say, with a silver hoard, if you will, a hoard of something containing silver, which seemed to indicate that perhaps the person who lived in this particular house or structure was wealthy, and they found it right exactly in the same area where it was destroyed 2,700 years ago.
Now, is this a modern city now, or is it just an open land?
This is simply an archaeological tell.
It's a rise in the ground that indicates there's something inside that we should know about. So, was this on somebody's calendar to dig now? Has it been known about for very long?
It has been known about it. I know 30 years ago when I lived in Israel, we used to visit the site. It wasn't excavated until this past summer. 6 weeks was spent. The previous summer was a season of surveying. They basically surveyed the particular site, but when they actually began the excavation this year, they already have evidence that this was a city that was fortified in part, and certainly.
Might they have explored this area
by the Syrians
with that ground truthing radar that can look down below the surface? Is that one technique that they would have used?
I'm not sure if they used that particular technology for this site, but perhaps that will be forthcoming. But when we read the particular siege by Ben-Hadad and Tiglath-Pileser in the book of 1st and 2nd Kings, we do have at least some examples of walls and structures, and certainly pieces of pottery are now being found that does date to that time period. So once again, this is a site that will reveal the accuracy of Scripture in depicting the Assyrian conquest of this particular city.
Well, you got to be looking forward to next summer then. When do you get to go there? Put your hands in that.
Yeah, it really will be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, not that I would ask you to bend any rules, but maybe you could come back with a hunk of clay or something for me and for David. We could put a, you know, just you
something. Let's see, what would be the cost for that? Let's see.
Oh, no, he's going to charge us.
Like 5 years?
You try to get something for free. You try to wheedle something, and look what happens now. We got another.
Now, is this the one where they found the small pieces of what looks like a sphinx?
No, I don't think it was here.
Okay. It's not the one. Okay.
But this particular site, I'm trying to pull up a picture and send you a picture of a very impressive jug that they found this hoard of silver, and it was found just exactly in the structure that was destroyed, apparently, by the Assyrians.
Itself, but, yeah. So something they missed, some loot that they missed, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, but, you talked about, what does the name mean? I remember vaguely hearing about this from you before. What is the it refers to a garden or something?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before or not. Mm-hmm. It's, again, a site mentioned only a couple times in Scripture, so it's not a very well-known site and probably will never be a big, huge site that people go visit at all. But it's about the, I think that's about a 2 miles or so, a mile and a half from the Lebanon border, so it's very, okay. very close. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's some one example, again, of many of you know, in recent years of new finds that will certainly reveal the Bible's accuracy.
It's hard to believe there are still such places after all these years, that there are places that are as yet unexplored, and no telling how many secrets to antiquity could be buried just under the ground there in countless places. So, now this will be exciting. John Delancey is the head of Biblical Israel Tours, and he goes over there frequently. You're headed there again in October, aren't you?
I am. October and November are my next two trips.
Okay. Any availabilities on those tours for folks?
The October one closes actually this Friday, mm-hmm. And the November one is open through early September.
Okay. And John takes copious notes and adds a lot of photographs. Each time he goes over, you can read about it at biblicalisraeltours.com. There's a link to it on our website, and also there's a link from there to his blog site, where you can see daily accounts of what happens with the group and what they see and what they think. And it's just a great experience. And an even better experience is to go there. And if you have a chance to do it, more power to you. I think you ought to. Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime chance to walk where Jesus walked, see some, just to touch a stone that he might have touched would be just astounding. So what a place to visit. John joins us just about every Tuesday morning from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania. What does your congregation have to say about you disappearing all the time? I mean, is your parking spot still there with your name on it, or does it have somebody else's?
Well, I don't have a parking spot with my name, but I'm sure you and David do.
Well, we do, but, right outside Radio City Complex here.
Anyway, yeah, our church has adjusted well. We hired a part-time associate pastor, so there's pastoral coverage when I'm gone, and I think they're excited about, hopefully,
you know, he has nothing to do with archaeology, so he's not running off on John's too, but you might infect him. You know, you come back and get him jazzed about archaeology. You could wind up a team. And where would your congregation be?
That's true. Well, where would they be?
Well, they'd be in Glenshaw, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's all right. They have access to Skype. They can watch you. Do you communicate with your congregation when you're over there?
Not necessarily. Okay. Once in a while we do emailing. I email particular leaders in our church, but mm-hmm. to see what's up. But pretty mm-hmm. much not as much as I probably should have.
No, I suspect they miss you. You got to send them a note now and then. When you're just say, hey, I'm okay, things are going fine, and wish you were here. You know, you could send them a postcard or something. That'd be a nice touch for the congregation, I think, John. John Delancey, Reverend Dr. John Delancey, again, his website, biblicalisraeltours.com, and there's a link on the right side of our homepage here at brokenroadradio.com. And again, our conversations with John always posted as podcast under audio archives. You can go there and go. It's been 2 years, John, you've been doing this with us. Really, really grateful to you. Thank you very much for all the time and effort you put into this.
You're welcome. There's always new and exciting things to find and to talk about, and I look forward to next time.
Yeah, we'll look forward to talking with you after October and November trips, too. That should be something really special. Music on a Broken Road Radio Tuesday morning now from Stevie Ray Vaughan. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Hey.